Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Center for Christian Music Studies at Baylor University. This podcast was recorded at the 2013 Alleluia Conference. For more information about Alleluia, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.
Wireless, because I think people are scared of wireless a lot of times because it just doesn't work, and we're going to figure out a way to make it work for you. I've got a few toys and props to show you to hopefully help, but a sound system, we're going to talk about all the different components. There are all-in-one systems that exist, but they usually are not found in churches. Normally we piece our systems together. And that's how I prefer to do sound systems as well. Even when a church or a school comes to me, I like to do customized systems. And we really look at each piece and figure out what's going to be the best. We're going to talk about mixers. Mixers, everything we plug into, our mics and our keyboards and speakers and all of that. We're going to look at unpowered versus powered mixers. We're going to talk about analog versus digital mixers, amplifiers, unpowered versus powered speakers. We're going to talk about effects. A lot of times those are built in. We're going to talk about playback options, recording options, and what it fits in, where it goes. A lot of churches are blessed with a sound booth, and they have a sound guy or sound lady in the back running it, but that's not always the case. Sometimes it is right there up on the stage or in the pulpit, so we'll talk about those options as well. And maybe trying to consolidate what you've got. So first off, powered mixers is a mixer with inputs, okay? So you can see a little picture down there. I can plug my mics into it, but it's got power built into it. And you would use that with unpowered speakers. If you go, how do I know if a speaker is unpowered or not? If the speaker plugs into the wall, it's powered. If there's no plug, if there's only one cable coming out of it that's plugging into something else, then it's unpowered. So this mixer can provide the power. And the reason a lot of people go with this is because it's all one unit. There's a church that was here actually in my session last year that this is what they decided to go with because they don't have a sound booth. They don't have somebody running it, so they have just this right on the stage with them. It's all in one piece because they can plug all their mics into it. Usually there's limited mic inputs on a powered mixer. They don't usually come with 16 or 32 inputs. And you can fit it in a rack if you'd like, or you can just set it on a shelf, or like they did at that church, just set it on the right on the stage. So with a powered mixer, you can use unpowered speakers. I like using unpowered speakers and installs because they're lighter. So if I'm going to be hanging them up on the wall, especially if I don't have cinder block or maybe I don't have access to a stud, unpowered speakers are lighter, and I only have to worry about running one cable from it. Powered speakers need a plug somewhere with them as well. You do have to ask yourself, how much power can these speakers handle? A lot of times churches will get really inexpensive speakers that can't handle a lot of wattage, and then somebody will donate a really awesome amplifier or a power mixer, and the first time they plug it in, it just blows it, and it just doesn't, and then you mess up your speakers. Lots of times they come in 8 inches, 10 inches, 12 inches, 15 inches. I usually stop at 12 inch because 15 inch for me just has a little bit too much bass, grumbly sound, and if you want that bright, clear sound, 12 inch is a really good place to start. Stop. And then you can put all unpowered speakers on speaker stands, or they can be mounted on the wall. In the same church that bought that mixer, they wanted to mount the speakers on the wall, but it was a very odd shape of a little church and where they can mount the speakers. And so we actually put the speakers on speaker stands, and we had them move them around for like 4 weeks and to see where it sounded the best for their little church. And so then once they had done that experiment, then we went out and mounted them on the wall for them. Because you really kind of have to play around with that, especially in these weird, odd-shaped churches.
What's a price range
for powered speakers?
Unpowered
speakers can run anywhere from $180 to $300 each. It really depends on the brand that you get and the size that you get. Unpowered mixers are going to be where most churches are going to fit into because of how many inputs they're going to want to get. I am a firm believer in getting more inputs than you ever think you will need in a lifetime, because the worst thing is when you outgrow your system. I like to call it future-proofing your system. Get more than you need at the beginning, because you don't want to outgrow it and then start having to rig it up later as you add more singers or add more instrumentalists or add more speakers. You want to be able to have the flexibility of inputs. And a lot of times when you get into these unpowered mixers, they're going to have a lot of the effects, reverb, all of that built right in. These can be racked, but they also, the larger you get, sometimes you can't rack them in a normal rolling rack. But if you have a sound booth, you can just set them on a table and a shelf for those. So we'll talk.
What do you mean by rack?
I'm going to show you a picture of a rack here in just a minute. And so it's like a rolling box, kind of like that I can put. This is actually a rack that's mounted on the wall, and so it can be screwed into here and be left in there. So when you've got a lot of pieces together, sometimes it's nicer to have it all in one place, screwed in, and all the cables connected so that nothing gets unplugged unnecessarily. And then yes, ma'am?
Before you get too far, what was the price range on that powered mixer, the dollar unit?
Powered mixers run from anywhere from $450 to $700. And that just depends on the wattage and the inputs. Most mixers are going to be what we call analog mixers. Those ones that I just showed you are analog. Those are basic mixers. They really don't have any brains in them, okay? They don't have intelligence in them, okay? They just take signals and send signals, and they don't ask any questions. They do exactly what you tell them to do. When you turn the volume up, it does the volume. And so they're just very basic, and that is what 90% of small to medium churches have. But we are seeing a lot of churches, even small churches, moving to digital mixers. And the basic definition of a digital mixer is it's a mixer with a brain, and it's a mixer with memory. And when you have a situation where you don't have a sound engineer at the church, you don't have a sound designer, you don't have somebody who can be there every week, a digital mixer is really great because you can get everything set up for maybe all of your different scenarios. This is the setup for when the preacher's speaking. This is the setup when the choir's singing. This is the setup when the praise team is singing. And all of those things can be memorized or saved into the mixer. And that is beautiful because you can hire a company like mine or professional sound engineers who can come in. Maybe they come to your church for just a couple of Sundays and they try to come up with all the different scenarios that you have on a regular basis and get those things memorized in, saved in, so that anybody, plain old Joe, can sit back there at the mixer and know, okay, scene one is what I need to do when the pastor's up there. Scene two is what I need to do when the choir's up there. And then they can go from there. They can make adjustments from there, but they're saved. You even can password protect it so that some kid can't get over there and change all your settings, or sometimes the pastor can't get over there and change all the settings. You don't want Michael changing the settings. No, sorry. So you can do that with digital mixers. Now, of course, you're going, well, of course, Rebecca, if it can do all of that, it's got to cost a lot more. And yes, it does cost a lot more, but it has come down in price dramatically over the last about 5 or 6 years, they've become a lot more accessible. So there's four main series right now that I think a lot of churches are going with. There are so many more that I could list off. Soundcraft, Allen and Heath. I mean, there's so many more options. But these are the ones that I'm having the most success with, that I think are the best bang for your buck. And while they all have a learning curve, are reasonable or within reach to learn how to use, okay? So the PreSonus Studio Live series, that's this first one. PreSonus, I would say, is the most affordable option out there. Their mixers, depending on how many inputs you get, can start as low as $1,100, which might sound like a whole bunch, but when the first digital mixers came out and they started at $8,000 and that was all you could get, $1,100 is a really great bargain. From $1,100 all the way up to $2,500. There's a gentleman here who was in my session last year who we got him two of these PreSonus mixers this past year, got them trained, and that's what they're using. The reason they're a little less expensive is they have all the same brains in them. They can do all the same memorizing and saving. But the sliders, you know, you've seen people in movies moving them, those are called faders. The PreSonus does not have motorized faders, meaning they only move when you move them. They have no motor in them. And that can get a little confusing because we talked about memorizing. Say you got them all set and then you memorized it and then you set them all in another way and you memorized it and then you go back to that first setting, they don't move to where those are. And that can get kind of confusing for some folks because it could actually sound one way but not look like what it sounds like. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that okay? So that's why they're less expensive. They took those motors out because a lot of people are doing it with computer software now and they don't want to see that. To me, it's very confusing because when I press this and when I hear something and I hear that, you know, all of these people over here are really loud, but I look at my board and they're not in the same place, that's confusing to me. But it's a great way to get into the digital mixer. The next one is the Yamaha 01V96i, probably the number one selling, most popular digital mixer on the market. They just updated it to include that I at the end. So the 01V, you probably have heard, we've talked to a lot of sound people, oh yeah, we have an 01V, that's what pretty much everyone calls them. But now it's got that little I at the end, they've updated it. Yamaha has probably the most impressive list of features, but there's a big learning curve to learn it. That board starts at $2,100. So it is a big chunk up, but it can do all the great things. The other one, the only one that I was able to bring with me, is this baby. This is the Mackie DL1608, okay? And this, it's the smallest one on the market. This one comes with 16 inputs, 16 XLR inputs. These are XLR, they look different because they also can be quarter inch, okay? They're called what we call a dual jack. So it's got 16 inputs, 16 mics into this. I can plug, you know, one for the pastor, one for each member of the praise team, one for the music minister, you know, a couple to mic the choir, a couple to mic the drums or the piano. I can plug in my electric guitars and my electric keyboards. So you can see I'm already listing off a lot of things. You start to use up inputs very quickly in a church. You really start to use them up. And a lot of people go, oh, we don't have that many mics or we don't have that many instruments. But when you really start making the list, it really adds up. So that's where you plug everything in. And then, instead of having all of those faders, like you see in the other pictures, it is on the iPad. Did any of you have an iPad in here? Okay, we've got a couple of iPads. iPad is very popular. And if you've ever played with one, they all kind of work the same way. You can slide things around and move things and move everything up and down. And so if you're somebody who's comfortable using an iPad, you'll be already 10 steps ahead on the learning curve with this machine because it's all based on the iPad. And so I can use the iPad. The iPad will make the changes for this. I could come up here and do the volumes here if I wanted to do the gain, but I can do everything on my iPad. What's really cool though about the Mackie DL1608 is I can plug a wireless router directly into this. A wireless router is what you probably have in your home to make your internet wireless so you don't have to be plugged into the internet all the time. I can plug a wireless router into here and take out my iPad. That box can be sitting all the way in the back of my church, and I can have this up on the pulpit, and I can make all of the changes to the volumes and the levels wirelessly. Now, every single other one of these can do that as well, but the difference is that you have to have a computer plugged into the mixer as well. And for some churches, that's not a big deal. They already have a computer in the sound booth. They don't want to worry about it. But for a church that's starting maybe to move into the digital age and they don't already have a computer, this is a great way to go because cross the computer off the list. You don't have to have that. Here's another really cool thing, and this might be kind of a snarky comment, but we probably all had those musicians in our church who want to hear a little bit more of themselves in their monitor, or maybe they want to hear less drums, or usually it's, I'd like to hear myself more. Can you turn me up? Can you turn me up? I hear that a lot. The pianist wants to hear themselves more. They want to hear more of the music minister, and usually there's a lot of me, right? Well, with this mixer, all of your musicians, if they have their own iPad or their own iPhone, they can talk to the mixer as well, and you can give them permission to control their monitor. So if there's a speaker right here next to the piano player, they can control what they hear. So then there's no more complaint because they're in charge of it. And if they don't like what they're hearing, it's their own fault, right?
And it just changes theirs.
It just
Nobody
changes theirs. Yeah,
to.
You can control just their speaker. So that's another great thing why this is great for churches, because then you can give them permission, say, okay, Susie the pianist, you are on channel 4, and you can change your speaker to be whatever you want. So
or
that
you could just do that with thermostats.
Right? These four rows are going to be 72. These four rows are going to be 85 degrees. I understand. I'm always the one, though, who I want the air turned down and turned down and down because I play the piano. I'm working up a sweat over there, right? And I feel so bad because there'll be a little lady in the back who's got 7 blankets on her, and I just am sweating. So, yes, so that's one of the great things you can do with the Mackie. And this one only starts at $960. So it's the least expensive one, but you have to have an iPad with it. And iPads, the least expensive iPad you can get right now is an older version that will work for $399. I've had questions about the dock. Say that again.
What would you recommend if you didn't mind spending a little more?
Oh, we'll just get one of the newer iPads. They run from $599. You can get an iPad with lots of storage, and they're like $999. Now, this is still the 30-pin connector, is what it's called. It's a 30-pin connector. And the newest iPads have a different connector. It's called Lightning. And Mackie is coming out with the new dock. And you'll see these screws right here. When that comes out, you'll just unscrew this and put the new dock in, and it'll dock with the new Lightning connector. For right now, you can use an adapter and then just go wireless so that it doesn't have to go right there for right now. That's how people with new iPads, the newest iPads, can get by in that meantime. Does that make sense? Okay. And then the last digital mixer I want to talk about, and then we got to move on, is the Roland Systems Group mixer. And this might be a little over your heads, but I still want to talk about it because it is my favorite mixer because of its flexibility. It also has the ability to work with an iPad. It is also one of the first ones that can do the iPad without the help of a computer, okay? But what sets this mixer apart is that it runs off of a Cat5 cable. Okay. Cat5 cable is a internet computer cable. It's a very inexpensive cable to buy, and it's a cable that you can get in really long lengths and you don't lose signal quality, okay? A lot of times, you know, churches will have their sound booth all the way in the back of a church and they'll want everything up there. And when you start to get over 100 feet, 200 feet, sometimes you lose some signal quality loss. But this has a Cat 5, and what that does is in this one, it's a little teeny tiny cable, and that one teeny tiny cable, I can run up to 40 signals in that one little cable. You'll also see next to it, there's this box. We call that a snake, okay? That's a snake, and that's something I can run that snake all the way up to my stage with just this one cable, and I can plug everything into it on the stage, send it back, and it's all that one cable. Another really cool thing about the Roland board is that they also have a great mixer app, but then they do have mixer boxes. You might have seen these. They do it on it was called the Singing Bee. There was a TV show. It was like a karaoke show, and they were one of the first like public groups to use these mixer boxes. And it's like a drummer. If you have a drummer, he might sometimes have 10 to 16 mics all on his equipment. And so he can actually put on every single channel every one of his mics. And he can say, I want to listen to this, this, and this. I really need to hear my bass drum. I really need to hear my cymbal. Well, Susie, the singer over here, isn't going to really care about the drums, so she can put all of hers on one channel. And all of that is so much easier with the Roland Systems Group because of that Cat 5 cabling. And you can have those snakes all over your stage, and it works really well. If that's a system that's interesting to you and you want more details about it, just come talk to me privately because it really is great. Roland just came out with the new M200i. Their boards used to start at $10,000. There was nothing you could do about it. If you wanted to be in the Roland Systems Group, you had to put down some serious cash. But now this board with a 32-channel snake is $43.95. It is actually very reachable for a church to get to that and really be taken care of digitally, okay? Questions about digital mixers. I know that's a lot of information. We barely scratched the surface about what they can do, but the biggest thing I want you to take away is that digital mixers mean you can save the settings. It means that you can memorize all the changes that you have made. And then, somebody who has no sound background at all or knowledge can run a church service with these mixers just by pressing the right number at the right time. Any other questions? Okay, amplifiers. So we talked about powered mixers and we talked about powered speakers and all of those things. If you have an unpowered mixer and an unpowered speaker, we have to get power from somewhere. And that's when amplifiers come into the mix. I just went to a church in Oklahoma that they had like 30 amplifiers in the basement of their church that was powering all of their mixers. It was quite an impressive setup. It was a little outdated of a setup, but it was impressive to see all the work that they had put into it. You need these to power the speakers, unless you have a powered mixer. We've talked about how it's easy to outgrow a powered mixer, so you need these to power the speakers. People ask, how many watts do I need? A good rule of thumb is 1 watt per audience member. So if you have a 1,000-seat church, you need 1,000 watts. I mean, that's a really good just rule of thumb. If you're doing anything outdoors, though, you might as well just double that. Because when you are outdoors, the wattage just flies away with the wind, okay? There's nothing for it to bounce off of, so it disappears very quickly. Again, you use amplifiers with unpowered speakers. If you try to plug a powered speaker into an amplifier, you might possibly get a fire. No, I'm kidding. You'll actually lose power. And that when I've had customers who call and said, you know, our sound system was twice as loud, and now it has half the volume. What's happened? Something got switched. Something got moved around. and a powered mixer or a powered speaker got plugged into an amplifier, and that's what causes that power loss. Powered speakers, whole nother ballgame, okay? If you want the best sound, the clearest sound, powered speakers are the way to go. And the reason is that unpowered speakers have no brains, okay? They have no intelligence. Powered speakers come with some brains in them. They come with some intelligence in them, and they can help do things like feedback suppression. We all hate feedback, right? That's the most horrible thing in the world, but a powered speaker can come with the ability to suppress the feedback. It can set the, it can limit, if there's spikes in the sound, it can limit those, all built in. There's no need for a power amp. You use it with an unpowered mixer, so all the mixers we've kind of been talking about, except for that very first one, you can use with it. And again, how much power do you need? I mean, a lot of powered speakers start at 850 watts and move up to 1,000. There are even some that say there are 1,100 watts. Anything over that, they're probably lying. Wattage, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I like to say that the wattage on speakers is like the gas mileage on cars, okay? You know, they kind of fudge a little bit. They kind of lie just a little bit. They make it sound better than it is. So you have to take it all with a grain of salt. And all watts are not created equal, okay? There are regular watts. There are RMS watts. There's digital watts. That little speaker right there is 30 watts. But that little speaker right there sounds 10 times louder than things I have in my booth that say they're 400 watts. It's all relative. You just have to try it out or talk to a professional like me and say, wow, what do I need? How much is gonna work in here? Because there's no real rule of thumb when it comes to wattage. Powered speakers have some downsides though. First thing is they're heavy. That's the big thing, they are heavy. They are heavy to cart around, they're heavy to mount. You really have to make sure you are mounting into a stud, that you're mounting into cinder block walls. Those are great. We love those because they're not going anywhere. But you have to be careful because sometimes they could be over 55 pounds. A lot of our mounts are rated to hold 100 pounds or more. That doesn't necessarily mean your wall is capable of holding 100 pounds or more. So you have to think about that with power speakers. And then the next kind of downside to power speakers is they need power. Okay, and I hate installing a speaker and then having to run an ugly orange power cord down your wall because power wasn't installed. Now to me, installing power in a wall sounds like the biggest project ever, but to your maintenance staff or to your electrician friend, they can do that in no time at all. So you want power wherever the speakers are going to go. There are tons of brands of power speakers. We sell them all. But if you want the best, QSC is rocking the world when it comes to powered speakers, and they are the only powered speakers available that are actually made here in the USA. Now, some of the parts come from non-USA places, but they actually are assembled here in California, and they are 1,000 watts, and that is actually not that much of a lie. It's really loud. It is really loud. They come in small speakers that you can easily mount on the wall, and then they also come in these big tower speakers that you can set on stages. They have what's called the line array. Have you ever been to a stadium where you've seen like the curved speakers? It looks like six speakers and they kind of are curved. Those are called line array speakers. All of those are wonderful for power speakers. But we've talked about now the fact that we have to plug them in, that we have to deal with cabling. So the next step is let's make them wireless. Powered speakers are the only speakers that can be wireless. One, they need a little bit of brains in them, okay? And unpowered speakers are getting power from that cable, right? So there's no way to make them wireless. But you can make two powered speakers wireless, which means I can have speakers mounted at the front of my church, and I can have my mixer at the back of my church, and I do not have to run a cable between them. If you have a baby's room, right? We have a baby in our presence. If this baby was screaming bloody murder, dad might take her into him, her,
him
might take him into, you know, sometimes we have extra little rooms in the back and you don't want to run cabling in there. You could put a wireless speaker in there. So this company named TeachLogic has made a great set of wireless speakers. We put a transmitter in the sound system, so it transmits the wireless signal to the speakers, and on the speakers we put a receiver, so it receives the signal. To make two speakers wireless costs about $850. Might sound like a lot of money, but when you think about that, on the low end, cable costs about $1 a foot, all the way up to $2 to $3 a foot, depending on the cable you get. Plus the install time and the labor, if you want it through the carpet or through the walls, you can easily eat up $850 in labor and cabling, just right there. So wireless speakers are something to think about, but remember, you only can do it with powered speakers, and powered speakers take power, okay? Gotta keep all these little things straight. Graphic equalizer. There are scams all around us, and I feel like graphic equalizers are one of the biggest scams that other sound system companies, that's a card that they play. They always put a graphic equalizer in the system, and sometimes they'll say, oh, you need this $1,000 one. And the truth is that everything that's in that $1,000 graphic equalizer is in your mixer already. It's kind of a throwaway piece. If you are buying a brand new mixer tomorrow, I highly doubt you need an extra piece of equipment. Now, if you have a really old mixer that's not digital, that was made 10 or 15 years ago, and you need to be able to edit the sound, then you might need a graphic equalizer. The main thing that this will help with is feedback. It allows you to really find out where that ringing is coming from, where the feedback is coming from, and fix that. But a lot of that is built into mixers and into speakers now. So it's kind of not a necessary thing. This is what I would call a red flag. If you get a quote from a company and there's a $1,000 graphic equalizer on there, you need to go, wait, do I really need that?
I'll have to say that our church has one of those and I have turned it off since I've been there.
Yeah, you don't need
it. It's pointless.
A lot of times you just don't need it because it's built into your mixer. All right. Playback options. I got to speed up just a little bit so we get through everything. We all want to play back music in our churches, right? The Tascam CD 200 series is probably the most popular. They still come with CDs. I hate to break it to you, but CDs are going away. Oh my goodness. Tapes went away. Albums went away. CDs are on their way out. My joke is they're not dead yet, but they have moved to assisted living. Okay, they are on their way out. They are not going to be here for much longer. But the CD 200 series is great. It comes in a lot of different flavors. It comes in CD iPod, so you have CD and you have an iPod option. iPod is actually obsolete because it still has that old connector. The 30-pin connector is technically obsolete because the new iPhones, the new iPads, all have a different connector now called Lightning. You can get a CD USB. USB is the future. USB is a reusable media. The CD USB option has overdub, which means you can record on top, but then it also has the ability to take your CDs and burn it to a USB. So it has that as well. And then the very newest one that is coming out this month is CD Bluetooth. Have you all heard about Bluetooth? Bluetooth is on your phones, on your tablets, on your computers, and it allows you to send signal wirelessly. They finally have perfected Bluetooth for indoors. I don't know when Bluetooth is going to work outside. It might not ever, but they've now finally got it where it can lock on a Bluetooth signal. It used to be very unreliable because it would try to jump around, but now it's very reliable. Those are all in the $250 to $400 range, okay? They are a professional piece of equipment, okay? They will last forever. They do a great job. If you're looking for something inexpensive, the Newmark MP103 is $199. It does a great job. It is a DJ piece, but it still does an awesome job if you're looking for something inexpensive. And then, just a really cool new thing that we just got shipped in right before I left town, is this little thing. You can see it in the hand. This I can put on an iPod dock. So if you have equipment in your church or in your classroom that has that iPod dock on it, you can turn that into Bluetooth. Isn't that cool? For $75, I can dock this on it and it makes that Bluetooth, so that it makes it wireless and I can send my signals wirelessly for only $75. So for people who have gotten iPod dock equipment in the past and now they can't use it because their phone doesn't fit anymore, this will work for you. Also, recording. We want to record our services. Tascam has some great options for recording to CD, recording to USB, recording to SD. They're the SS series of recorders. There's a whole bunch of them. You also can transfer your files from CD to USB. Another option, and this is what a lot of churches are doing, you know, they have their whole big sound system. They don't want to set up a really big recorder. Maybe they do have some great recording equipment, but they want a backup. A lot of churches are going to handheld recorders for a backup. I believe your church is doing this. You've got two options. This records for me right here. It's what's recording us in the back. This is a different brand, but it's got great microphones on it, right? I can just record on here. So I could set this up at the back of the church and it would record the whole sermon. Or I can line in, so I can take a cable from the mixer that everything's plugged into and line it directly into here, and it's going to record onto an SD card. You've seen those before, that you have your digital cameras. And then I can just send this home with the pastor if he wants to hear what his recording was, or there's a USB cable that plugs into a computer. I can email him his sermon. All of your homebound or people who missed the sermon or they want it on the website, you can send it to them as well. And it's just a great backup. This is $189. It's the Roland R5. It has, to me, it's the best built-in microphones on any handheld recorder. So if you're wanting to actually use these microphones for recording, this does a great job for recording. If you are going to be lining it in, then there's really no need for it to be great quality microphones, because it's bypassing the microphones. So for $95, you can get this DR05, and it does a great job as well of just recording, having a backup recorder for $95. Okay? Then the future, okay, is USB duplication. You might send cassette tapes out to people who missed the church service. You might send CDs out to folks who missed the church service. Well, now USB is the way to go. It's a reusable media. This first picture is actually a Romeo Music product that we have designed and we distribute that nobody else has, and it is a 2 CD drive, 2 USB option. I can duplicate CD to CD. I can go from a CD to USB. I can go from a USB to a USB. And I can even go backwards if I ever really needed to. Go from a USB to a CD. So it's a 4-in-1 duplicator, and it's only $399. So that's a way we can get away from our CDs and get to USB. But then, you can kind of see it over in the corner, we now have USB duplicators. We have a lot of churches and a lot of schools who are recording the sermon, and at the end of the service are immediately duplicating that onto USB flash drives. So they have recorded straight to a USB flash drive. They pop it in. I have one church that has a 1 to 15 duplicator. They have it set up before the service with 15 other USB flash drives plugged in. Right as the prelude is finished, they plug it in, they press duplicate, and they can hand out that USB to the members of their church to take to friends, to take to loved ones who weren't able to be at the service immediately.
Now, do they just give the USBs away?
We have a USB return at one of the churches. They have, you can take it with them, and then if they want to get next week's sermon, they bring it back and they give them another one. That's a great way. You can get your logo printed on them. For a 1-hour service, you can get away with just a 1 gig USB drive, and you would record at the MP3 quality, not the wave quality. So then those actually, the more you, if you buy them in bulk, you can get them very inexpensively. And people can bring their own USBs if they wanted to duplicate as well. All right, let's move on. So all of that can go into a customized rack. Churches are a little bit different because they usually have sound rooms. When I'm working with schools or for portable systems, they want everything all in one box so they can roll it around and move it. So that's what I was talking about, a rack. That's what we are there for. There's all different types of rack options. We can mount them on the wall. We can move them around. I can put power conditioners and sequencers in there, sliding shelves, drawers, all kinds of things. And we can do this more stationary as well in your sound systems. Let's talk about wireless a little bit. We've got about 12 minutes left. We've got to start a little bit late, but hopefully I can finish wireless here for you. I'm going to talk about this wireless mic first, just because it has nothing to do with anything else I'm going to talk about. Everything I'm going to talk about next doesn't apply to this mic, but it's so cool, I just have to show it to you. We have all probably worn a mic that goes on our ear and then has a cable that goes down our back and then with a body pack, right? Is anyone everyone familiar with how that works? Okay, good. Well, this is the only mic out there that doesn't have a cable or a body pack. This right here is the transmitter right in my ear, so I don't have to wear anything. And then this little thing right here is the receiver. This teeny tiny little thing like that. And I can plug this into any sound system. I can plug it into my little cube speaker that I have set up here, all ready to go. And both of these are rechargeable. I can plug them in every night and they'll run for 8 hours. These are great for Sunday school classrooms. If you have a little sound system maybe in your Sunday school classroom or a little speaker, and the teacher just wants to be able to be louder in the classroom without having to raise their voice, or maybe it's a rowdy kids class, this is a great way. These are $249. They're very inexpensive as far as wireless go. The reason that they are inexpensive, though, is because they only have one frequency, okay? And they only come in 6 frequencies total. So I say that there's probably, in your one church, only the ability to use 3 or 4 of them at one time, okay? This is not an option for praise team. It is not an option for long distances. You can't get very far away from this. But it is a great option for small churches. Maybe the only wireless mic they need is for the pastor, and that is it. Or for smaller classrooms. This is a great thing. We call it the Swamtusis. Because that's the item number. And so that's what we have called it. But it's great. It's also just a great thing to have in a pinch when your regular wireless system doesn't work. And it is kind of hopefully the future. Hopefully we'll start seeing more microphones like that won't have the cables, okay? But I wanted to show you that first because I want to kind of get it out of your brain before we talk about wireless, okay? Wireless microphones, things you need to know, things you must know, okay? And we'll go through this pretty quickly. But when you are trying to decide, if maybe your church has no wireless microphones and you are starting from scratch, okay? Or maybe you have a couple of wireless microphones and it's time to add more. The first question you have to ask you, the most important question, is how many systems do you need? How many wireless microphones at one time are you going to be using now? And in the future, in your wildest dreams, are you going to have 16 praise singers up there on wireless microphones? In your wildest dreams, are you going to have 8 singers and, 8 wireless guitars up there as well? Are you going to have 30? Or if in your wildest dreams you're only ever going to have 4? Those are important questions to ask, because that's how we decide what type of wireless system you need to get. That is the first question. The next question you want to ask is, where will the receivers live, okay? And I have some props. This is a receiver, okay? You've probably seen these little boxes by your church, right? They plug into the wall, okay? And they plug into your mixing board or your sound system, okay? And they have 2 antennas. And you might have a whole bunch of these in the back of your church, just stacked up with all these little antennas leering at you. This is a receiver, and you need to know, where are they going to live? I have gone on many rescue missions to churches that their wireless do not work. What do we do? Our wireless never work, or they drop out. And I go and I find that all these boxes are living in a steel cabinet behind a closed door, three doors down from where the pastor is speaking or where they're singing. They need to be able to see that the body packs, the mics, they need to be able to see these. That's our best scenario. Or they need to be in pretty close proximity to them, okay? That's how wireless works. It's not magic yet, okay? Because the other thing we need to might possibly think of is if it's not an ideal situation where they can be seen, we might need to think about having remote antennas. Maybe all the receivers live in one place, and we put antennas outside of the sound booth, or maybe higher up or lower, depending on what's going to work for your scenario. There's also a thing called antenna distribution. Let's have a little quiz. If I had 16 wireless microphones, how many antennas do I have?
32.
If I have 16 wireless microphones, how many power cords do I have?
16.
That's a mess, okay? And so an option that we can do is called antenna distribution. I can actually consolidate all those antennas down to two antennas, and I can consolidate all those power cords down to one for every four. So for every four systems, I can consolidate that down to one power cord. So that's what antenna distribution is. And then the next question is, what type of transmitter am I going to be using? Am I going to have handheld mics, right? That's what a lot of people want, handheld mics. Or do I want the body packs, okay? The body packs, then I can have headset mics. I can have lavalier clip-on mics. I can clip them onto instruments. I can make guitars wireless. I can make piano microphones wireless. What am I going to make wireless? We sell three main brands of wireless: Sennheiser, Shure, and Audio-Technica. Sennheiser's the king, but it also comes with king prices. And I don't always think that it's necessary to spend that much money on wireless. My go-to is Shure, and oh, it got cut off. There's a new BLX system, the other one says SLX and ULX. Shure is where I go because I feel like you get the best bang for your buck with Shure systems. They are awesome, they sound great, but they are very affordable. And then Audio-Technica, that's what I brought here. They're going to be the least expensive, okay? They do a great job. Are they going to last you 100 years? Probably not. But for a church that needs to get a couple of wireless and they're starting out on a budget, Audio-Technica is the way to go. I also brought a really great mic, and this is one of my favorite mics. This is the Samson SE50T. Everybody wants these type of mics, right? They all want the real pretty mics nobody can see. But they're very fragile, and they break a lot. And they can be very expensive. You can spend up to $400 on just this. Mm-hmm. On just this part. That's not even talking about the receiver and the body pack. On just this part. Well, we found this mic is only $169. And my favorite part is that this cable is separate. And normally whenever there's a problem, when there's a break, it's usually with the cable. But on other mics, you have to replace all of it. On this mic, I can replace just the cable for $30. And then even better than that, it comes with all the adapters in the box. See, all of those body packs are different. They have different connectors. They're different. Shure is different. Sennheiser is different. Audio-Technica is different. They all have, you know, proprietary connections. But this one comes with all of them in the box. So if you have a couple of Sennheiser and a couple of Shure and a couple of Audio-Technica at your church, this mic will work with all of them. And it's very easy to replace the cable. All right. A lot of problems with microphones have to do with frequencies, okay? Our air is full of stuff that's flying around. We have internet. We have cell phones. We have wireless microphones. And the government, a couple of years ago, decided that they owned the air and that they could sell off sections of it if they wanted to. And they did. And they sold off a big section of it. It's called the 700 megahertz range. And when you look at wireless microphones, on the mic or on the receiver, you are going to see a frequency. Let's see, where is it on this one? You're going to see a frequency, and it's going to be two sets of numbers followed by MHZ. If you have wireless systems in your church that are between the numbers of 698 and 806, if they haven't stopped working, they will. And if they are working and you're using them, it's technically illegal to be using them, because the government sold that to Safety Channels, they sold it to AT&T and Verizon, and now,
You tell us those numbers again?
698 to 806. And for about 3 years, all of the wireless companies were allowing you to trade those in and get some discounts to get new ones. Well, all that's expired, and now if they're stopped working, then it's time to replace them. They did their best to try to get information out to everyone. There were emails and all of that, and that's been about 3 years ago that they did all of that. But then the other thing is that even in the spectrum of frequencies, there might be frequencies that are better for your zip code than others. Whenever I sell anybody a wireless system, I first ask them how many are they going to use, because that's how we decide where we need to be. And then also, I scan their zip code for television stations, safety channels, radio stations, to make sure that the microphones that I sell you are going to be great for that area. They're going to have room to talk. Wireless microphones are not something you should buy off of Amazon at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, there needs to be research put into them. You need to find out what's the best. Now, if you go, well, we can't afford any new microphones and they're not working, this might be a good program for you to get. It's only $79. It's called RF Guru, and it allows you to input all the frequencies of what you have and put it into your computer, and it'll tell you what the best channels are to set all of your wireless microphones on to get the best setup. It's called RF Guru, and it's $79. And we use this a lot. Sometimes, you know, even when we've done all of our research and we've tried to make sure we get the best frequencies, sometimes we'll get to really difficult areas and they might not all be working together right. We might have a lot of dropouts, and we will go and bring the software out and scan and really try to make the best setup. Just so you know, there's some great wireless mics from a company called Applied Microphone Technology. They can mic anything, and they can mic it all wirelessly. Piano is a notoriously difficult thing to mic. They have some great piano mics. Again, they can be wired or wireless. So AMT, they're kind of pricey, but they are handmade mics. They design them to fit whatever instrument that you are looking for. Great for all kinds of things. Now, if you're having a problem miking your piano, you might as well just get a digital piano. And it's very easy to mic a digital piano. You don't have to. You just plug it into your sound system, and then you have full control over the piano. This is actually a digital grand from Roland. It is absolutely beautiful. It sounds wonderful. You can plug it into your sound system and have full control over it. And it is $19,000. But if you go try to buy a Yamaha grand or a Steinway grand, you could spend anywhere from $40,000 to $100,000. Like that. This one never has to be tuned. It actually can be detuned. If you have an organ and you're trying to match them up, you can detune this piano to match the organ. You have full control over it. It feels amazing. I have a degree in music with a concentration in piano. I'm a professional pianist. I would consider myself a piano snob, and I love the way this piano feels. We do have it in our Dallas and Fort Worth locations if you ever want to stop by and play it. We do also have one that looks like an acoustic upright as well, and that one's $4,800. Again, you never have to tune them. Great way to not have to worry about miking the piano is just being able to plug it into the sound system. So, that kind of covers everything that I've got. I'm going to pass this orange sheet around. If you'll just put your email address on it, I will send you this PowerPoint and all the prices that I talked about. The best thing, though, with sound systems is to call me and say, this is what we have, this is what's not working, this is what I want to update, let me come out to your church, let me meet with you and come up with some customized things. I have cards up here as well, but you'll have all the information in my email when I send it to you. If it plugs in, give me a call. That is the best way to handle it. You can find us on Facebook. I am doing another session right after this one on some software programs, if you're interested in that. If you enjoyed this session, please tell your friends. I have another, the same session I'll be doing again in the morning. If you want to hear it again, it's always different. You can come back. You can come back and listen to it again in the morning. But I hope you have a good rest of the day.